All right. Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us with Grow Hemp Colorado's free conference calls we offer weekly. Today's call on April 4th, Friday at 11 o'clock. Our first guest is the great Mr. Stan Garnett, the Boulder County DA that we all love. And let me just quickly kind of run over how our calls work. The calls are recorded, so you guys will all be muted initially. And at the end, if there's some time, we'll I'll unmute everybody, and you guys can ask Stan and our other guests some questions if there's time. And then these calls will be available to listen to online to download at growhempcolorado.com as well. So we are going to start with our call. And again, our guest on our first part of the call is Mr. Stan Garnett, like Boulder County DA. And Stan, if you don't mind, would you kind of basically introduce yourself for the callers on the call and the future listeners in the future online and kind of tell us your role in hemp in Colorado?
Sure, of course, Veronica. Thanks a lot for having me. And I always enjoy anything you put together, so thanks for the chance this morning. My name's Stan Garnett. I'm the district attorney in the 20th Judicial District, which is Boulder County. We're the sixth largest DA's office in Colorado. We prosecute about 2,000 felonies a year and several thousand misdemeanors. My job is to enforce state law within the state of Colorado, or within Boulder County, violations of Colorado statute. I have been pretty active on issues around Amendment 64 and medical marijuana regulation and dispensary regulation, partly because, as many of you know, I learned a fair amount about the way my community sees these issues with some cases that I handled early on. I was also, which was basically that Boulder County is a pretty pro-law enforcement jurisdiction, but that the community did not support criminal enforcement of low-level marijuana possession statutes. So we focus our things on other things that have a real impact on public safety. I also had the benefit of being appointed last year by the legislature to be on the hemp regulation committee that participated in drafting regulations pursuant to the hemp portion of Amendment 64. That gave me a real opportunity to learn a lot about the potential for hemp production and what that can mean for agricultural folks in Colorado. So that's me, and I'm happy to answer any questions today.
Okay, great. Well, I want to say first off, on at least from my point of view, and I'm sure many, many others, we definitely appreciate your not only enthusiasm, but mostly your support and your overall proactivism and even participating on the rulemaking for hemp. So thank you very, very much. It's a wonderful thing to have you kind of on the team. So I do want to get into some questions that probably only you can answer. And, you know, if I do ask something that maybe out of line or inappropriate, just don't hesitate to stop me because sometimes I'm not sure where that boundary lies within the legal world. So I wanted to go to one question that has been brought up a few times, and I believe that you may be the overseer, I'm not sure, of this area. In Boulder County and the city, both Boulder City and Boulder County, they offer some open space leasing opportunities for farmers. There's a process that you go through to, you know, be able to lease that premise from the county or the city. I've had conversations with both the county and the city open space guys in charge of this. And the city is a little bit more receptive to maybe offering these opportunities down the road where the hemp farmers can use like this open space stuff under the city. But the county, when it comes to this, doesn't seem to be as receptive only because it sounds like they are concerned about federal funding issues or loss of it perhaps, or just overall legalities. Do you have any kind of insight about that or something that we could maybe resolve down the road for the county side?
Sure. Well, I think, Veronica, the issue is a tricky issue for subdivisions of the state of Colorado. And let me see if I can kind of give some context to it. The elephant in the room on all issues around cannabis or marijuana is that it remains a controlled substance under federal law and a very serious one. This puts local entities, which would include almost any local government, a city, a county, a school district, at a tricky position because if they receive any federal funding at all, almost all federal funding is going to be conditioned on complying in all respects with federal law, which is a fairly standard requirement for grants and federal funding. And by example, let me just give you an example. Boulder County had serious problems with flooding last year, and Boulder County has received tens of millions of dollars, I think actually now well over $100 million, in federal reimbursement from FEMA for this. So the county is understandably concerned about not engaging in an activity that would jeopardize important funding for its community. And the people that run open space obviously have an understandable concern that permitting the growth of a substance, such as Schedule I controlled substance under federal law, could jeopardize that funding. There's not a whole lot I can do on that from a district attorney perspective, because my job is to enforce state law. I've made it clear how I want to approach that. I'm happy to help the county attorney and the county commissioners and others kind of think through the issue. But ultimately, that's something they're going to have to sort out with the federal government.
Okay, so is that kind of the people, if we want to initiate that conversation, whether in Boulder County or other places in Colorado, is it the commissioners we need to discuss that county federal funding issues with versus like a county DA like you?
Yeah, it would be the commissioners. Okay. And I think the fact, you know, the fact that we and the commissioners are advised by the county attorney's office, I'm certainly happy to weigh in and be of whatever help I can. And I have good relations with all those folks. But okay, essentially, those are the people that have to make the decision. I will also note, Veronica, that Boulder County is entirely represented by Jared Polis in Congress. And Jared, of course, has been a real friend working to try to get things changed. So I think we're headed in the right direction there. It's kind of like the banking issue. I think we're making progress. Obviously, we'd like to see it move a little more quickly.
Yes, I agree. Okay, well, that's great information. Let's go to another question that actually has come up a number of times, but officially was stated in kind of black and white yesterday on a Westward article that came out about the registrants that have registered so far in the last month since they've allowed it with the state ag department. And there was an individual from Longmont who was kind of under the belief that, you know, they're going to freak out when they see it happen and they're going to initiate local city ordinances that require local testing on the Longmont level for the 0.3, you know, and of course my statement was that that's not possible. It's regulated under the state ag. They will only be doing that, and local ordinance probably doesn't, you won't come into play. It defaults to local municipality at some time or local law enforcement. Can you kind of talk about that quickly, about how you as the Boulder County DA might approach someone who is perhaps testing over 0.3 in the first year, you know, that we're at least right now, the first year, the first season, if we are testing over 0.3 or 0.1 under our research and development license or commercial?
Sure. I mean,
and
the
we
issues
do get
that
reported?
Sure, of course. A couple of different issues there. The first one is, it is true that from time to time, local governments will pass regulations, like a city council, for example, might pass a regulation on an issue where they're frustrated that the state isn't approaching it appropriately. It is possible that a local city council could pass a regulation about hemp in some respect. It's extremely unlikely because there needs to be a political consensus about that. In the example I would use is fracking, where the municipalities are frustrated that the state's not dealing with the issue appropriately. There's been a political pressure, and you've passed fracking bans. Whether they're legal or not is an issue that the courts will sort out. I simply don't see that. Certainly in Boulder County, we don't see political support for local regulation of hemp production. If there is a case in which someone engages in hemp production and ends up with a higher THC level than is permitted for agricultural hemp production, there's a number of things that would be looked at before anyone would end up being criminally prosecuted, even by the federal system, including how aware the person was. Was it intentional? Is this really a subterfuge to try to sell marijuana or cannabis products on the black market, that kind of thing? So I think it's very unlikely there will be any criminal prosecutions, certainly out of my jurisdiction, and I think, frankly, in any jurisdiction in Colorado out of that kind of situation, but all those things depend on the facts.
All right, so let's put it in this case scenario. If someone gets a research and development license this year and, you know, by default they test way over 1% and the state has to report it according to the state law to local jurisdiction or local authority, which would be you in this case, or you guys. And if Susie QA has a plot that tests at 17% THC, that could be perhaps a problem versus Susie QB, who has, you know, 3% versus her 1% she's trying to meet, or 0.3. So would you say that you guys would be a little bit more suspect of something much higher THC, even under research and development, but needs to kind of meet close of what our standards are already set at?
Yes, of course. And, you know, one of the things that it's unethical for me to do is to give definitive legal opinions off a hypothetical, so I can't say anything definitely. But, of course, if you're dealing – the hypothetical illustrates the problem, and I'm happy to chat about it. You know, what we look at is what we look at in every case, which is what was the intent? Is there some kind of hidden purpose that's inappropriate that's going on here, or was it simply a mistake? We look at that kind of thing on all sorts of statutes.
Okay, good, because it's reassuring, at least in the first year or two, with everybody to know there's a little bit flexibility as we figure out what is really doable here in Colorado. Good news that I have had recently, I've been testing my hemp plants, and they are coming below 0.3 right now. So that is positive, good news. I'm jumping up and down.
Sorry, Veronica.
Go ahead.
One thing that people need to remember is that the 0.3 level, you know, the wisdom of that is not something that's really up for debate because it's part of the constitutional amendment. So we all have to live with it. Producers have to live with it. And, you know, I'm hoping it's a workable level. I'm certainly no expert in hemp production. To me, it sounded to me from the work we did on the committee that it was going to be a workable level.
Yeah. Now, speaking of the committee, are you guys planning to get together again anytime soon? What is the schedule, if you can divulge that to any of us? Is there plans for more rulemaking?
It's certainly a public record. I don't believe there are plans for that, and I'm on a whole bunch of state committees, but I'm not aware of any meetings upcoming for that.
Okay, great. So let me ask you quickly about the state letter. Did you get a chance to go over the letter the state sent to the feds regarding our need for seed?
Yep, that's a good letter. It was signed by the governor. Yep.
Yeah. Any thoughts behind that, or any further thoughts about, you know, seed importation, or what maybe we can help do to, you know, stand behind the powers to be to help us?
You know, I don't have a lot of thoughts on it. I think that was a good letter and a step in the right direction. I don't claim to be an expert in how these kind of regulatory issues will get decided by the Department of Agriculture on a federal level. Certainly anything I can do to be supportive, I'm happy to do it, although I'm not sure they care a whole lot what a local district attorney thinks on this kind of stuff. You know, again, like I said, I think the analogy is to the banking regulations, where for a long time we saw no progress, and now we're seeing some incremental progress. It's not quite where it needs to be yet, but we're getting there. So I'm hoping there will be progress. I do think that Congressman Polis's office, and I know there's another number of other Congress people that are supportive of the effort, should be able to be helpful.
Yeah, Polis has been super proactive. He's really great. We're actually really lucky to have him as well on the team. So, you know, let me ask you, is there anything else that you might want to announce to the hemp farmers for this season that's about to happen and us getting our hands dirty? Is there any wisdom or advice or anything that you might have thought of over the last few meetings as things develop to us have a better understanding of where Boulder County stands with it, or just in general overall? Anything?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do have a couple of thoughts, and that is, I admire the people that are essentially entrepreneurs that are coming in wanting to move forward with this crop, and I think it's productive, and it's going to be good for Colorado and good for all of our economies. I would encourage people to be to pay attention to the politics, to not hesitate to be in touch with county commissioners, local governments, district attorneys where you need to, although I don't think a lot of this is going to turn into criminal issues, and to be patient. Sometimes people that haven't been involved in the political system, Veronica, get a little impatient with the system when the right decision doesn't get made right away, and I think you just have to be realistic that these things are a result of consensus. Consensus has to build, and it sometimes can take a while. So that's what I would say. And I also, I think everything that you can do to spread the positive word about success stories of hemp production, what it means for local economies, what the products are able to do, is stuff that will help to continue the gradual shift in public opinion about all of these issues.
Yes, and it's starting to shift. I am seeing that. I'm seeing a good kind of division going on about, you know, marijuana versus hemp in some sense of the word. There seems to be a better understanding going on every day. I don't know if I really want to bring this up or if you have anything to maybe say about this issue, about the CBD, because there is a huge kind of understanding or conversation going on, obviously, about the medical refugees coming here, which is almost a separate issue. But now that hemp is entwined in it, there is a belief that hemp may be a solution to our CBD issue. Do you have any maybe comments about that? Because I tend to stray away from the CBD since really it's not even legally defined in our Constitution, only THC ratio percentages.
Yeah, I don't really have any opinion on that, Veronica.
Okay, so I know you have to get off in about 15 minutes or less, and I'm going to give everybody, I mean, I have obviously more questions all the time, but I want to give people a chance to kind of give you some questions if you don't mind. So I'm going to unmute everybody, and if you guys have any questions for Stan, Mr. Garnett, please introduce yourself at least first name before you begin, and we can begin. So I've unmuted everybody, so if you have questions, feel free to throw them out there. Anybody with any questions?
Now, I have a question. My name is Clint Palmer. I live in Tennessee. My question is when do you expect to hear something from the Department of Justice regarding industrial hemp on a federal level?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm on the National Board of Directors of the National District Attorneys Association, and I was back. We have an annual conference in Washington in February. Let me give you, there's a long answer and a short answer. The short answer is I don't know. The long answer is hopefully soon and hopefully in the next few months. It takes the federal government a long time to process these sorts of things, and obviously I'm sure that hemp growers are anxious to get clarity, particularly now because of the time of year. But I simply don't know what's happening, and what I can say about the federal government is it always takes longer than you wish it did.
Okay, but just to clarify, they are currently working on a memo like that.
I've been told they are. Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, and if this helps Clint at all, there went Mara, who works for Jared Polis's office. Our congressman, Mr. Garnett, mentioned. He or she was on a past interview that has been speaking to the DOJ, Department of Justice, more regarding any kind of criminal action against commercial farming activities or possible banking issues. So they seem to have a positive reply in response to all the things she's been coming with on behalf of Polis's office. So with Mr. Garnett and Polis's office, you know, progress should be made readily.
Great. Thank you.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, you're welcome. Anyone else with any questions? Don't be scared to ask Mr. Garnett any questions now. All right. Well, if no one has any more questions, I know that you're a busy man dealing with a lot of stuff going on over there. And, you know, we might have you on as a guest down the road if you don't mind if I continue after May 1st, because really these are just kind of going on till May 1st till everyone gets started farming. So I definitely appreciate your time and everything you do, and I would love to send you guys some free hemp coffee for the office if that's even possible. So, you know, that invitation is always available if you guys drink coffee over there. So, have a great day, Stan. Yes. Thank you very much, and I appreciate your time.
All right. You take care.
All right. Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. All right, Stan is off the call. We're going to start with our second guest of the call, Jason Love. Are you on the call?
I am. Excuse me, I am here.
Okay, awesome. Do you want to, I mean, we had you on last week, and, you know, you're very well known, but if you don't mind introducing yourself again, I would appreciate it, and then we can kind of go over some stuff.
Sure. My name is Jason Love. I am a resident of Colorado, also a cannabis patient, but my main focus has been industrial hemp, and I was the author of HB 1299 in 2012, which was our industrial hemp remediation pilot program, and that really led into the next year's bill, SB 13241, which was our industrial hemp regulation program or regulatory rules bill. And so big advocate for industrial hemp. I also work in phytoremediation with hemp, at least on the research and development side, and constantly are working with other states and other individuals, actually other countries as well, on either the infrastructure, the political environment, legal environment, and farming and harvesting of industrial hemp.
Awesome. Cool. All right, so where shall we begin? Let's quickly tell everybody, and we can remind them at the end of the call maybe, about an event, the two events actually coming up. Do you want to talk about Saturday's event and the 12th? Yeah,
tomorrow, a sold-out event in Windsor, the NoCo Hemp Expo. It has been really, really got me excited because Morris Beagle has put together not only a presentation of hemp experts, but also entertainment and the retail side of what people have to offer that has been made from hemp. So this should be really cool, really, really great event. You may get lucky, you know, there are going to be a few tickets at the door, so you may get lucky and get in there. And then coming up April 12th, we have another presentation down at the Trinidad Junior College, if I remember right. Is that right, Veronica?
I believe so. I'm looking up the flyer right now, but it is definitely April 12th.
Yeah, I don't actually have that right in front of me, but that's going to be down, I know it's at the Trinidad Junior College, April 12th, and that's hosted by Karen Kirshner, and we hope to have a representative from, I think, the water side of things, water law. There'll be myself, Veronica, you're coming on down there as well to present, and I'm sorry, I'm forgetting everybody else here. I should probably jump over to my what do you call that? My messages. You know, it's funny. I do all my work from my phone now, and all this is probably right in front of me in my messenger. But
no problem. You're right. It is at the Trinidad State Junior College Valley Campus, and it starts at 10:30, and presenters start at 11:00. So this is definitely a good event for Southern Colorado people. So if you guys are close by, or you have friends or family down there that are interested in hemp, or at least spread the word on Facebook, because it should be definitely a very informational meeting. And I know the state ag department will be also coming as one of the speakers.
Here, you know what? So. Veronica, I actually just found the whole thing. Can I read this to you real quick?
Sure, go ahead.
So this is, I'll try and get through this as quick as I can, but this is the complete description, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
The 2014, the year of industrial hemp, Hemp Basics for Southern Colorado, April 12th at the Trinidad State Junior College. And basically what is written here is an exciting event for anyone interested with industrial hemp will be happening in the St. Louis Valley in April 12th. And we will have a meet and greet in the beginning, and they're asking for a $5 donation. So there will be a hemp luck, a food potluck, from 10:30 to 11 a.m. And then you'll have some coffee and some food and get to mingle. And then you'll be able to listen to Ryan Laughlin, who'll be there, Colorado's first industrial hemp farmer. And then I'll be there speaking about various projects. Jeff Owlsley from the SLV Small Business Association will address opportunities in the industry. And then Paul Lebeck from Sativa Labs will also be down there to talk about testing an analytical protocol. And Veronica will be speaking about Grow Hemp Colorado, as well as her registered hemp cultivar that she has developed. And then Karen will be addressing her Colorado Industrial Hemp Coalition, which will be focusing on getting education out there. So this should be a really good presentation.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. So this is good. So what happened last night? There was a do you have any updates? There was a meeting in Adams County for hemp last night, and I was unable to attend. I want a little bit of an update about that, any good information, and I believe
you
had some updates on our bill that had been
Great. Adams County hosted an event over at their state building, or the county building, just off of, what is that, in Brighton, South Brighton. And it was a really good turnout. It looked like about 100 people showed up. There were presenters from the Vote Hemp group and HIA, the hemp industry group, as well as presenters from Canada who were from Manitoba Harvest, as well as some seed developers. And so the presentations in that arena, which I thought were really fascinating, got into planting guidelines, specifics about nutrients and pests and fungal issues and so on and so forth, really the detailed aspect of the agronomy. Manitoba Harvest really spoke about their infrastructure and processing plant, their seed expeller, and basically what they look for, the crop and the relationship between certified seed or seed that has been recognized from the EU or seed that's been recognized by Canada. And I'll address that actually in a moment. I have some comments about some bill changes we have. But let's see. In terms of people who were there, we had a great turnout from farmers, and I saw definitely some investor interests that were there. There were a lot of curious individuals that had their own reason to be there, obviously not necessarily farming. There could be hobby or artisan side of things. And then let's see what else took place. Okay, well, you know, I would just go say look at Google and go search 9 News. They did a video coverage yesterday that was really good, so you'll get a sense of, you know, what it looked like. But a lot of good questions came up about legal issues, about seed access, about the fears that people may have. The overall information was great. Obviously, you know, when we go to these events, some things are not quite as accurate as we'd want them to be. So I have some updates also on the bill side of things.
Okay, well, it was good that overall there was a lot of interest of all that ever matters with these hemp meetings right now. So that's positive information.
Here's what I'll say to you, Veronica, sorry, is that Ron Carlton his presentation, Ron Carlton's the Deputy Ag Commissioner, he did a really great presentation, as well as the President of the Farmers Union and the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union. And I'll have to say this, just their excitement alone is so encouraging. I mean, these guys are so understanding of the potential of what hemp can bring us in the state, let alone in the country. So I think that should really set the pace for everybody else's excitement in the room.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The energy is in the air over here for anyone who's not here in Colorado. It's crazy. So tell us about the updates on the bill, because I'm super interested in, is there a copy that I can post on Grow Hemp Colorado for everyone to read? Is there any? Okay.
So right now, just so you know, the bill is in draft status. And so these are things that we're looking to do. This has not been passed. This has not been even presented, submitted as a bill yet. So we're looking at a draft stage. But that preface, that, you know, really is just kind of a just to be a little cautious, if you will. That said, we have a lot of support. Everybody in the Ag Department, in the Senate and House are all very, very supportive of industrial hemp and have been since we passed both those bills in the past 2 years, including the third piece, which was Amendment 64. So I don't think that this is stuff that we really well, let me say it this way. There's some really good things happening. So let me go through this list. These are the things that we potentially will see happen this legislative session. And these are things that either were mistakes in the original bill or because people realize that industrial hemp has all these potentials and it's an expansion in some areas. And so here's what we're looking at doing. The 10-acre cap on R&D is going to be lifted or proposed to be lifted so that the R&D is unlimited. R&D will also be allowed indoors. That was actually a mistake in the original bill. It says outdoors only. And so that'll be addressed. There's going to be a seed certification program put into place, as well as a potential research hemp research fund. And we're trying to figure out how that's going to work. But so I'm really, really excited. I think everybody should be really excited about that research program that they're looking at.
Let me ask you a few questions before you go on. Okay, I was under the impression that from a past call with Samantha Walsh that there was going to be some kind of exemption for the universities or the educational institutes. Is that still the case in the bill?
Let me address that for you. So keep in mind the Farm Bill just passed, and the hemp component of the Farm Bill does address the federal legal issues regarding research of industrial hemp at universities. Now, that's at the federal level. Now, keep in mind, when things are done at that level, we still have to do work at the state level. And so you bring up a really important question. And, yes, in this bill, it basically under a section of violations and penalties is, I know that's title. The title sounds scary, but it actually is the opposite. And so we're looking to protect the institutions of higher education so that they can be involved in industrial hemp research. And so that is in there. That, and again, this is just a proposal.
All right. Well, I just want to officially object really quick because I don't want them to have, I don't know if I feel comfortable with them having like this full exemption thing going on. And this is just my personal objection because I'm a little scared of the future repercussions of that where they might have invested interests to sell that, you know, intellectual property or whatever they've developed or researched and developed and sell it to
keep in mind,
so that's my only concern.
I hear you, but keep in mind, you have as much access as they do, if you will, to do research. So there's the public side and the private side. But what I see so far is that there's a really large potential for this public and private relationship to happen. So I encourage people who are just like yourself, who are interested in not only seed development, but also the research regarding our soils and the relationships with other crops. I encourage everybody to reach out to these universities. Keep in mind, these are public universities that are doing this, and that's what this law is addressing. And so to me, they're just the same as the rest of the citizens. And again, this is not a legal perspective. This is my personal opinion. So definitely dive in there. I get a lot of people calling me up saying, hey, I want to be part of this. I want to be part of that. And I'm sitting there going, honestly, why are you asking me? Why don't you go out and just do it? And so, you know, I mean, you already know Ben, but definitely what I would say overall is find out who else is out in the market, if you will, that's doing these things or interested in doing these things, because the potential is not just for one business. It's for many, many opportunities and businesses. So I don't see this as a limitation.
And I'm just stating, like, you know, for a cleanup bill, like, I would prefer just on, at least from my perspective, I would prefer just clean up our current bill and not try to add anything in there new until it can really be looked at by the kind of the rest or at least some public opinion into it. And that's just how I feel about it because I'm not totally secure with the idea of them having an unlimited THC exemption.
Okay.
You know, why?
Well, that's not what this is.
Okay.
What
exempts them then? What's their exemption?
So,
the universities.
Basically, it's that they're not going to be they're not going to suspend or revoke the institution's teaching ability or university record status. It's not saying that they can test things above the 0.3%, you know, value, if you will. It's not a complete, you know, THC blanket.
Okay. Do you think that that's going to be available for any of us to review before it actually, or at some point, will that be available?
Let me make a comment politically on this. This is how I view things personally. If you guys are interested in making comments and all that, please reach out to these senators and representatives that are sponsoring the bill. And so in the past, Senator Gail Schwartz has been a very, very supportive senator on all of our work with industrial hemp. And so at this point, keep in mind, we want to be very, very positive with our relationships with our legislative body. So if you have suggestions, go to them with a presentation, you know, one-page paragraph. And I'm not talking about, you know, diagrams and all this stuff. I'm just saying, you know, bring a piece of paper with your reasoning. And that way, if you don't have an opportunity to actually sit down with them, you can give it to their legislative aide. And then they'll make sure that they get it to their the boss, if you will. So I do encourage everybody to get involved with this. Again, people call me and they want, you know, these things changed. And I don't want you all to think that we're trying to hide anything. It's just the process that things go through. So reach out to them and they will, you know, listen and they'll share with you the pieces that you may be concerned with, give you their reasoning on it. All right.
Now, who are the sponsors of the bill? Do you know? So those are the people to contact. Okay.
Here's what I'll say right now is because it's in draft form, there haven't been any other sponsors. Gail Schwartz, has always been very supportive. And so if anything, I would approach her right now and say, hey, you know, what do you have going on in terms of, the cleanup bill for industrial hemp regulations? And I'm sure she'll have a very frank conversation with you.
Okay. So no one is officially sponsoring the bill yet and it's being drafted. And who is it being drafted? What group of people?
So this has been, really a collaborative, cleanup with the conversation that took place with the committee, with the hemp committee, as well as with what Laura at the Ag Department has experienced in conversations. And she actually brought up a couple of things at the last meeting at the Boulder Library that we did. So she's another person you can communicate with. Now, keep in mind, this is just a cleanup. It's not anything that any one group is doing. You know, there's no one group that's doing any of this. This is just a result of the problem with the first bill. So let me throw this out to preempt all this also, is when we did the bill, the regulatory bill, and the SB 13241, is we knew that there were mistakes in there, but we decided not to go back and fix them because we knew that we would be able to fix them later. And the reasoning, part of the reasoning behind that was that we just didn't want to slow the momentum down on the support that we had. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So in other words, if we had made changes during that bill process, it wouldn't have passed when it passed. It could have. And if you remember the timing on all this, it was right toward the end of the session. And so we probably would have missed our opportunity. So that was why a lot of this happened. It wasn't like there was any vested interest trying to change anything.
Right.
And just okay. So you guys know, there has been no opposition. There has been no negative comments on any of the changes so far.
Okay. And then you said we'll be able to have some, or people can now and in the future, listeners, so they are aware if they want to have input, they should input it to Gail Schwartz or call us, or what should they do?
I would contact the Colorado Ag Department and talk to Laura.
Okay.
Is really what that to me that is really where I think most of us should start if we have questions or issues, because again, they want to work with us. They've shown that they recognize how important this is, not only to the farmers, but to the state and the country. And so they're really going out of their way to do anything they can to help us. So yeah, I would go to her first.
Okay.
And
all
if
right,
you,
cool.
If you get resistance and there's problems, you know, you come to the groups that are out there. There are a lot of supportive groups. There's you, I'm available. You can reach me at jasonlove.com or love.com. I don't know if my jasonlove.com is up there or teamhemp.com, but there are a lot of other people in the state that you can reach out to that could also support you in this. And really what I'm encouraging here is that we all can at least, even if we have our own opinions and companies and all this stuff, at least come together in a round table so we can, you know, work on the bigger issues.
Right. Okay. So I agree fully. Yeah, I mean, it's just going to require us all to be kind of proactive, and it's really important that we all, I think, stay on the same page right now. So,
Yeah, there's a lot of misunderstanding, too.
There is, and we'll be good and try to help clear those up over the next many months. So any kind of last comments that you might have for update stuff, and then I'm going to kind of unmute everybody in the meantime, and if they have questions for you, and then we can wrap it up in about 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, let me address this one point because this comes up a lot. A lot of people ask the question of what happens if my crop goes above the 0.3% THC level. And again, this is where Laura has again said that, and Stan Garnett reinforced this in his own wording, is that if that happens, you're not going to be looked at as a criminal necessarily. Obviously, if your intent is to be criminal, then yeah. But if your intent is there to do things right, it's pretty transparent the way things are set up. So don't panic about this. Don't hesitate. Don't let that be something that's going to prevent you from moving forward in planting or working in this industry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think Stan's a good example of why we shouldn't be scared. I mean, he totally is very supportive and progressive. I can't say that about all the DAs, but he's really
Let me actually point that out, though. So let's go up higher up in the chain, if you will. Let's go to Secretary Vilsack of the USDA. If you all haven't seen this, just recently, just last week, he suggested that we send money to the Ukraine. And I'm not saying I agree or disagree with this. I'm just saying this is what he was suggesting. And that was to send money to the Ukraine and buy their hemp and bring that over here. The purpose behind that, I have my own opinions. However, let's look at the result of something like that, a move like that. Politically and economically and legally, what I see is if we do that, then all of a sudden it opens the doors to everything else we want to do. So let's kind of look at the other possibilities in some of these things. And again, you know, I might have an issue with actually – you know, the funding of things, if you will, because I personally have another view, but the result of something like that could be beneficial.
Yeah, it could be, but I'm not sure if I like the idea if there's going to be some kind of, you know, exclusivity on only those seeds that we're purchasing from them can be used in our
industry. No. So let's talk about that real quick. Here's something I'll share with you, again, with the bill. Another proposal that we're looking at doing here is defining not only certified seed, and certified seed is important so that we can address import seed law at the USDA, but also we're defining Colorado heritage cannabis seed. And so that could potentially give us the definition that we can create our own unique and specialized seed. So I think what I see here, honestly, and what our goal is to keep this as this opportunity as open and as transparent to everybody and anybody who wants to get involved. So keep in mind, we don't have to license you to grow. It's just a registration. So you don't have to go through background checks and all this other stuff. So the hemp industry is very, very friendly here, at least the beginning of it.
Very friendly. You know, speaking of friendly and unfriendly, I went into hemp seed. I do want to make a note to everybody who is growing hemp or plans on growing hemp in Colorado and any of the farm areas in like Weld County or maybe even Boulder County or perhaps anywhere else. I have personally been experiencing for many months now the mutilation of mice. Mice, not mites, not M-I-T-E, but M-I-C-E, mice. They love this seed, and I'm not kidding. They will take the whole top off the little seedling plants. They will dig into your medium, whatever that is, soil or otherwise, and they will, you know, eat the seed and leave you the shell. And it's really becoming a massive problem for me, in fact. Like, I probably lost 200 just the other night, which is, you know, makes me want to cry. So just FYI, everybody, there is going to be mice attacks. There's no question. And the dogs. I want to just emphasize again, there's something the dogs love in the hemp plants. And they, when they get an upset tummy, they will take the whole plant down. And you will be left with a stalk, and that's it. So I just want to let all the callers know and anybody in the future, these might be some of the things in Colorado we will have to face and figure out.
So, well, let's not start a panic there. I think what really needs to be looked at, because there are ways to deal with these things. That actually came up yesterday during one of the presentations in regards to bacteria, mites, or various pests, I'll say. And some other things. So there are ways to mitigate some of these issues. If you're growing hemp, obviously at a small scale, it's going to be very detrimental to your crop too.
That is definitely something
to be talked about, but I don't think it's going to be as big as an issue as, you know, it's not, the mice are not going to populate. We're not going to get taken over and need the Pied Piper.
And I'm not anticipating that. I'm just saying there's something in there they love, and I've had to become very, tricky of how to manage that. So just an FYI to everybody, because I've never had to deal with that issue personally, and now I'm experiencing it, so I'd like to kind of give a heads up of at least my experiences. So does anyone have any questions on the call for Jason or myself or just in general?
I have one more comment, Matt, and this is
the last little piece.
Real quick, and this is something that came up yesterday as well, and this is something I've been trying to talk about with other people, is if you really understand this market, you'll see that companies like Manitoba Harvest who purchase crops from farmers, they're looking for a very specific moisture content. They're looking for a very specific flavor. They're looking for a very specific color. And so it's not like you can go plant any crop and expect to sell it to any market. And so it's kind of like if you grow an apple tree. Some of those are going to be sour. Some of them are going to be sweet. Some of them are green. Some of them are red. You need to make sure that seed that you're producing caters to the market that you're going after. And so this is another reason why certified seed and recognition of our Colorado heritage seed is going to be really, really important.
Yes, and on that last note, I want to also say that I personally am interested in buying anyone's dried hemp leaf, and I really don't care what it is, where it comes from or what kind of seed it is, but I don't want powdery mildew or any funguses or anything gross or chemicals on it. So I would be interested in purchasing anyone's future leaf material that's usable and dry.
Cool.
So FYI.
Cool.
Any okay. questions for us, anybody?
Yeah, I have a question.
Sure.
Go ahead.
All right. Is there going to be anybody setting up an organization that can go around to individual people who may want to grow only 5 or 10 plants, but they want to be able to sell it to some market or have somebody pick it up so that they can have value other than using the plant themselves?
That's a really interesting question. Here's what I'd like to say about that is be very aware of the type of organization you're going for. So, for example, an industry association usually has business interests in protecting those business interests, whether they're economic or in their own agenda, if you will. And then there are co-ops. So the co-ops usually in the farmers realm are going to be run by the farmers. Actually, I think the USDA has guidelines around that. And then you're going to see representative groups, whether it's for the farmers, for the producers, and so on and so forth down the line. So you bring up a really interesting question in terms of an individual growing, because the law here, the regulations are for commercial growth and research and development. Personally, I ask, what about horticultural growth or ornamental growth for personal, interest, hobby grower, if you will. Your specific question in terms of selling it to somebody else, I don't have an answer to yet.
Well, my understanding is if you go commercial grow, you pay the higher fee, lower acreage, but it's not a minimum of an acreage. So to encourage one to grow maybe 4 or 5 plants on their lot within the city or somewhere else, I'm wondering if there could be somebody that would encourage them and use them as a number to make a large harvest. You know what I'm saying?
Because I do.
They want to have some value of the plant. Either they're using it themselves or they want to sell it. So that's where I'm going.
Yeah, that's a very important question, and that's something that I've kept in my mind all along all this process. I do see a reason to have that organization or that relationship with people. In terms of who's doing it, are you interested in leading something like that?
I don't know. I'll talk to you about it tomorrow.
Perfect.
So we'll see you at the Hemco Expo tomorrow, huh? Nice. The North Coast Hemp Expo.
I'll have my dog with me, so I'll be fine.
So wait, I guess I'm confused. What's the question? The question is, can people personally grow and cultivate just on a personal level? And then if they want to sell the material, is that okay? Was that the question, or like the association for that type of group of people who wanted to do that?
Well, no, what I was trying to make is everybody's talking about the farmers, and when they start talking about that, they think of large growth. Well, what about the individuals who may have a backyard that want to grow 2 or 3 plants because they want to enjoy the growing process? But then they want to have a value. So is there or should there be an organization that goes to those people and say, hey, you've only got 4 plants. I'll give you this value and take those plants. And
I mean, you can spend
more
money picking
the answer,
up those
I think the answer is no to that, because once you cross the line of commercial, you know, where you're selling something or there's a transaction of any monies or a sale, then you're on a commercial level. You are no longer personally cultivating and personally using it. It's you're actually growing it, and then you're getting rid of it for some kind of compensation. So then I would say you are crossing the line to commercial, and then you would want to be commercially registered and, you know, have a license or something.
You may have more value in actually creating your own product, whatever that might be, your own personal paper, your own art project, yeah.
No, I'm saying commercial for the commercial license, and yes, you would have to have it tested when it comes flowering through the Department of Agriculture and everything.
Oh, I see. Okay, so let me give you the economics on that. So if you're paying your license fee and then you're trying to sell, say, 3 or 4 plants, those plants, if you do the math, an acre of plants is in a harvest is going to say fetch maybe at that, let's just do, keep it easy, let's just say $500. It's probably going to be higher, but that whole acre, which is what, 48 or 42,000 square feet, I can't remember the exact number, is you're looking at only like 50 cents, if you will, or a dollar, for those 4 plants. So you're paying over $100 for your licensing fee, but then your return on only a few plants is going to be way lower than that. So I really don't see the economic benefit there.
Okay, because I started out with the question, can you make a hemp plant as valuable as a marijuana flowering plant? And a couple of people have answered that it's really close. So
no.
Absolutely not. No, I mean, that's, I have to say that depending on who's answering that question, if they're talking about extraction and selling like a CBD oil by the gram, maybe that's where they're getting that number from. Otherwise, there's no way that there's going to be some kind of equal measure to the marijuana plant.
Yeah, that's been a lot of confusion. A lot of people are saying, like, the CBD aspect of it. What if you have a plant that has high CBD with low THC, qualifies as a hemp plant, but you're growing it like a ganja plant, like a medical plant? And that, yeah, that may prove to be true, but right now, I personally raise question with what is going on with the legal situation, but I think if you're really looking at hemp, if you're looking at hemp, you're looking at, you know, a $500 to $1,000, maybe more per acre, whereas with a ganja plant, you're looking at $4,500 per plant, you know. So the huge difference. It is nowhere near, yeah, it's not close at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out a way to make it enticing for small individuals to get involved instead of just the large farmers.
Well, here's what I would say. It's not all just large farmers. It's actually one of the farmers I just met with only had 70 acres. That's small. You know, it's not like thousands of acres of from each farmer. I hear what you're getting at, and I think it's actually very important. And maybe it falls under research and development. Maybe you do seed development. But
Can I just jump in real quick? I mean, Phil, this is what my idea is, what I think what you're saying. So I think you should maybe consider this, which is that for the small people or small scale farming opportunities or the individuals, for those people, it would be good to go network with a small local business, like a bakery or a local, skincare developer. And that person that they work with essentially could contract them in some sense to grow whatever that plant or that seed, and they use that material from that person who grew it for them. They also can pay for their license for the $200, $205 for the state or something for commercial. So it could be a win-win situation for the smaller people by working with small local businesses and cultivating that material for their product that they have in their restaurant on their menu, or their bread at a bakery, or in their concession trailer for their daily muffins. You know what I'm saying? Or a bagel company that's already distributing to all the gas stations. So there, I think there's a lot of potential for the smaller people, for the smaller kind of farmers or independent people. But I do think if you want to sell anything, it must be commercial, licensed for sure.
Right. Okay. Well,
Here's the other side to look at. If you're interested in getting involved in the industry, for example, when processing comes, a small processing plant could employ 20 people. Mm-hmm. A expeller plant for food, you know, again, can employ a handful of people. So I think the opportunities, Veronica, I think what you're pointing out is critical. Try and tie in with a small business or a larger business who needs, you know, talent in all those other areas.
Oh my gosh, do you know how easy it would be to go to your restaurant, a local restaurant, even for their breakfast menu, and say, throw some hemp seed into your breads or whatever that you make, or into your pancakes, and add this to your menu and introduce it for the first year, and I'll supply you with the hemp seed, pay for my registration or whatever. I mean, there's so much opportunity. It's just a matter of, you know, figuring out what works for you. So, you know, I realize what time it is. We're kind of running over. Does anyone have any last questions before we wrap up? Forgive me, we're kind of running over time here.
I do.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay.
Hi, Chris.
You talked earlier about indoor versus outdoor.
Yes.
Growing as far as legal, okay? So
yes.
Is there any hope for that, to fix that error in the law by this growing season?
Very good question.
No.
Anything's possible, but it doesn't look like that'll happen this year.
Okay, good.
This is what Laura would say. Laura Potteroff with the state has answered this question in the past. She said that although legislative might change this year through this session, and it may become, you know, law or change of law, it will not go in effect with the ag department till our next licensing season. So,
okay,
although,
cool. I got it.
Okay.
The next question is for the April 12th in Trinidad. Is it the same like you did, Veronica, up north there by Loveland, where you just walk in? You don't need to pre-register for that, do you?
No, that'll be just walk in. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and it will be much better too, because there will be food and lots of munchy stuff. It will be really good.
If you guys haven't been down, to the outer, I'll call them the outerlying meetings, if you will, really in the heart of the farm country, I welcome you to please come join us, because it's a totally different experience. It's really wonderful. Potluck and the food. Sorry, Chris, what was that?
How do we find that place? Trinidad State.
Trinidad State Junior College in Alamosa, I think it is.
Oh, it's in Alamosa?
Yep.
I thought it was in Trinidad.
Yeah.
No, I think if I remember right, Trinidad State College is in Alamosa or nearby.
I'm glad I asked. So that's in San Luis Valley.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, it's in the SLV. Yeah. Sorry, when I read through that, I said SLV and not San Luis Valley.
Oh, yeah, I did not catch that. So I'm glad we got that straight. So the thing to do, we don't know exactly the directions, but just find Trinidad State College in Alamosa, and that'll be close enough because there will be some signs up when we get there.
Yeah, once you get to the college there, I did a talk down there last year as well. It's pretty easy to find us.
Okay, and be there at 10:30 is the ticket.
That's 10:30 when it's starting, and there's a meet and greet for about a half hour and have some food, and then we'll get into the lineup of people talking. Yes.
Then we'll be done around 3 p.m. or something like that.
You know, I don't know the timeline on that. I'm guessing, 2 to 3, somewhere in there.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, and I'll post the flyer on growhubcolorado.com under the event section and maybe on the front page. So I'll put that up after this call so you can, if you want to reference that. There will be an address at least, I believe. So, all right, any last questions before we wrap up today's call?
Thanks for hosting.
All right. Well, thank you for being on the call, and thank you, everybody, for participating and listening, and all our future listeners. And again, this is available or will be available on growhempcolorado.com under conference calls under that section. So thanks again, and happy hemp growing, everybody.
Yay. Bye-bye.
Hempy highways. The host.